The first reading is from Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 1 to 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'These are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's festival of unleavened bread begins. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no work. For 7 days, present a food offering to the Lord. And on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work."
The second reading this evening is taken from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you," for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
Thank you to our readers. We preach Christ crucified and risen. As I take in that popular song, so this is Christmas, some of you may remember that, so this is Easter, and today is Maundy Thursday. I'm no language expert, but I believe the word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, or mandatum, meaning a command, like the one our Lord Jesus gives us to love God and to love our neighbour. Not the same, but similar is what our Lord says at the end of that second Bible reading where we heard. It's indeed our call to worship tonight. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And as a matter of interest, it just so happens earlier this year, or this Easter, sorry, this year coincides with the Jewish Passover, where they celebrate their liberation from slavery in Egypt. And it's many connections with the whole gospel story, of course, and especially Easter. There's many underlying links to redemption and salvation. But here tonight, we're going to concentrate and listen out for what God is saying to us through his word in the Bible we've just heard, to each and every one of us gathered here to worship him tonight. And for the sake of clarity, I should say that unlike the three other synoptic gospels, John is the only one who recorded this foot washing incident rather than details of the Last Supper. Why? Well, if you know, please tell me, because I have studied this as much as I can. I've even consulted with learned colleagues, and nobody can really give me a really satisfactory answer other than to say that because John was the last gospel, the last gospel to be written or compiled, they thought it was already in the other three, so what's the point of repeating it once again? That may be an answer. If you know of another answer, please let me know after the service. I should also say that this sermon is mainly based on the New International Version or translation of the Bible. And we know that while all the translations are maybe slightly different, they're all really saying the same thing, because we sense that Easter is a time of blessings and tensions. The whole story of Easter, of course, tops them all, from the passion and agony of Gethsemane, which is only found in Matthew and Mark, where our Lord Jesus even asked for the cup to be taken from him. And then he cried out on the cross, or from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Echoing our own prayers, really, when we feel abandoned by God in our own lives, when we maybe feel we're up against it. And there are times, even as Christians, we may feel that we are up against it. We taste of the passion and tension that our Lord Jesus went through that first Easter, one and only Easter, leading up to Good Friday, where our Lord Jesus did cry out from the cross, as we read in John's Gospel, "It is finished." And we're told with that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Of course, before that, we have this sublime and ultimate acted out parable of our Lord Jesus washing the disciples' feet. While we cannot get into every detail, I think I'll switch this off or something. I must be hitting it, or I'll put it here, see if it makes any difference. We're not going to get into every detail or aspect of this amazing... I'll put it down a bit. I think it's this. We're not going to get into every detail of this amazing living parable, but from verse 1 we immediately see that it's about the Lord's love, not just to his faithful followers, his disciples who were with him then, but for us all. Because, and those words, we would come through these words to believe that our Lord Jesus, as it said, as it says, at least in the New International Version, having loved his own. And I think that is carried on to us, having loved his own. That includes Christians today, not just his disciples. And in that wee bit that we read there in John about this foot washing, we will learn something of our Lord Jesus' divinity. Because he was not just a good person or a good guy who spoke a lot of sense, but he actually was the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. And as it said there, as we heard, he was going back to the Father. And he wanted to show the full extent of his love before he did that, by taking on this very lowly and menial, humbling task, which was a custom, it had become a custom even then in the ancient Near East, usually a custom carried out by slaves or servants to wash people's feet. And what makes this stand out today for us, I think, is the fact that the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, it was he who carried out this menial task of washing the disciples' feet. And he did it willingly. When it came to Simon Peter, of course, as we heard, he at first refused, until our Lord explained that in time he would understand. The usual impetuous Peter, of course, says, "Then, Lord, not just my feet, but my whole body and head as well." And this is when our Lord went on to explain in a very practical way that all that was needed after someone had a bath was to have this, their feet, washed, which is probably much easier to understand in the original context that it all happened, where the disciples would probably have worn sandals and walked on the dusty roads around Jerusalem. For us today, there is a strong link or hint that this foot washing was related to baptism, where initially you accepted the Lord into your life and followed him in baptism. You were cleansed, totally cleansed from all sin. So there's no need to repeat the sacrament that we now call it for Maundy Thursday, of baptism. But while we're on this earth, we will no doubt have our setbacks, where we will fall into sin and transgression. That's a given. But he's already taken care of our sin by dying, taking our sin upon himself and dying on the cross at Calvary. Hallelujah that he did. Our Lord Jesus knew that this was his whole mission among us, to bring, not only bring, but to actually be the good news, so that we can be saved through him and him alone. And though he was about to go through the greatest trial in his earthly life, we don't just remember him at Easter and Good Friday and all that happened, and especially the resurrection that we're celebrating this Sunday, God willing, but we remember all the Easter story at all times. And you know how in Scotland we say it's better felt than telt. If ever there was a loving gesture that was better felt than telt, it was this incident of our Lord Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And in keeping with that call from other parts of God's word, that very Scottish saying, it's better felt than telt, can be translated into these words, love in action. Love in action. In fact, I just saw something there similar for this leaflet there, always taking leaflets for the freebies. Love, faith without action is dead. That's Tear Fund's logo I've just picked up there. But I'm sure you've all heard the Love in Action logo many times. To serve God in a really real and practical way. It's not that we'll be saved through works. It's not that we'll be saved through works. God has we will only be called saved through what Jesus Christ has already done for us on the cross, where he alone can offer us forgiveness. Forgiveness. But having said all that, works are very important. God has given us works to do. As Paul the Apostle writes in his letter to the Galatians, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The Lord's humbling of himself and washing the disciples' feet was purely an example for them to do likewise. And we read in verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. It's not that we're expected to go out and wash other people's feet, especially in our Western culture. Even though the foot washing custom was enacted by Queen Elizabeth I, and then it was kept up by the Pope during Holy Week, where it became more of a ritual than a reality, although it is still a great example. But as that great missionary said, Amy Carmichael, she once said, God needs people to spread the gospel. God needs people to spread the gospel. So while we cannot maybe follow our Lord's example in our own culture, there's just a myriad of ways that we can follow his example by whatever means and opportunities are at our disposal, and whatever way the Lord opens up for us to follow him in word and in deed. This takes us back to love in action, which we will be sharing at the end of this service in this sacrament of Holy Communion. How much more can God show his love in action than through his coming among us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and allowing himself to be nailed onto a cross and to die in agony? He gave his all for us on that cross at Calvary, and then to be raised to life in the mighty resurrection. I just hope and pray that we can all hear and feel God's love for us, that he offers not just for us, but to all people. As he said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Because as they say in Scotland, it's always better felt than telt. And may God bless us this preaching of his holy word. Amen.